Yeager, hospital in Bartow for surgery on a rotator cuff. Okay, let's pray for Jenny. All right, open your Bibles. Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. We'll start off in Deuteronomy chapter 18 this morning for a lesson. I have taught on this not this long ago, but we've been doing some things doctrinally and subject-wise, separate subjects here in Sunday school. My normal thing is to take a book and teach it verse by verse. We haven't done that in a while. We finished up the book of Revelation and some others, been kind of, between Stephen and myself, we've been kind of doing some separate subjects. One of the things that I try to go by in picking a subject is questions folks ask. And I say that, I know I'm in a danger zone because you could have 100 questions and I never would catch up, so don't do me that way. But it's sort of like, Jenny, I'm looking at you and I just put you in the hospital there with that note I read. You're going, right? Okay, all right. Preacher gets misled sometime. It's not always his fault either. Some of these notes I get. Anyway, I've taught on this before, but I'm going to teach on a little more because I must have not done a good job. Or guess what? Could you imagine that everybody's not here every service? Do you know that really happens? And then they say, well, preacher, why don't you say? I thought, I did that. Where were you? You know. But anyway, I won't meddle too much on that, but that does happen. And so the subject I'm going to deal with this morning is on the subject of necromancer. How many of you know what I just said? That's not Greek or Hebrew. It's English. It's in your King James Bible. And how many of you know what it means, Rachel? Well, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Just do you know in your mind? There's no such thing as a dumb question if you don't know the answer. You need to always search it out. Amen. All right, I'll tell you what it is. It's the sin, and it is a sin, and we'll show you in the scripture in a minute. It is the sin of trying to talk to the dead, trying to communicate with the dead. The dark side, we might say, dealing with such stuff as witchcraft and so on. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 18 with me. Let's read some verses starting in about, I'm going to back up here to about verse 9. Verse 9 of, Deuteronomy 18. Verse 9, when thou art come into the land, now he's talking to the Jews, they're talking about going into the promised land, the land of Canaan and so forth. This will answer several questions. It says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that settled the UN's problems today. God gave the Jews the land, amen? Anyway, God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. God said they're into some gross sin and you're not to partake of it. Called it abominations of those nations. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That was a religious act. And there's cults and isms that still do that. Have you seen some of it down in some of the islands and other places where folks try to walk through hot coals and all that? That's an old, old thing of the devil from way, way back. So you're not to have a son or daughter that tries to, you make them walk through, pass through the fire. Or that useth divination. That comes from the word divine. We think more of diviners as fortune tellers and so forth. Divination. Or an observer of times. And that's still a part of it. Or an enchanter, or a witch. You say, oh, I thought the witches was just fictitious. No, there's such a thing as real witches. And still today. Verse 11, or a charmer, are a consulter with familiar spirits, are a wizard, that's not just fairy tales either, and here's the word, are a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Do you ever hear somebody say, well, God in the Old Testament was a big bully. He drove those folks out of the land. He killed. Listen, that was the devil's crowd raising their kids to pass through the fire. All this stuff of the devil. You need to understand how bad it was. And so God calls it an abomination. And he said, because these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Let's move on. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. And that word perfect, you need to understand, is not total perfection, but in obedience to the Lord, upright with the Lord. Verse 14, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Now, God was forbidden the children of Israel to participate in this stuff. Now, we're come around today to where the increase of the TV is full of people trying to show supernatural powers, talking to the dead has become a big thing. Some of them have had their own show where you could go on it and basically supposedly contact and get information from your loved ones that already passed over on the other side. Now, this is much in the news, and it's in high places. Some of you remember back when Bill Clinton was president, one of the books of Hillary Clinton that she talked about had to deal with this. She even talked about Eleanor Roosevelt visiting her in the White House. Now, it was acceptable stuff on the news. Much of Hollywood has been into it, like Shirley MacLaine and that crowd, for a long, long time. Now, I don't know, I joke about it a little bit. Some of them was mad at, was it Gene Houston that was supposed to be the guru that supposedly put a trance on Al Gore? He ain't woke up yet, in my opinion. That may be where he got the global warming thing from, I don't know. But anyway, I'm joking now, but that supposedly happened. He supposed to went into a trance, and they had it on TV where these spirits would show up and deal with this. Now, that's popular in circles where Bible believers would be looked down on in those same circles. You can see one side and the other side real, real clear on things like that. It's New Age, so-called New Age doctrine. It's been in the White House, even though, I mean, I was very much for Ronald Reagan, but Nancy Reagan, after he was assassinated, got so afraid that she consulted something like we'd call a fortune teller, about looking at the calendar and the horoscope and all that as to certain days it was safe for him to go out and days it wasn't, and it got to be pretty bad right after his assassination. While he spoke often of his belief in Christ and Bible and so forth, she was trying to find some extra help to protect her husband. So it's been in high places. So what I'm talking about, while it is in places like Haiti and some other places, bad dark scenes and voodoo and all that, it's still also in high places in America. So that's why I'm saying all that. Now, it's trouble is, it's been piped into our living room with the kids' cartoons to where they just cross over from the side of the dead all the time and all that, and kids are being twisted in their minds and accepting stuff they should be avoiding according to the Word of God. Don't take it too lightly. There's a lot of bad crime takes place where somebody says, I heard voices, somebody was telling me to do this, telling me to do, and some awful stuff. Even mothers killing their own babies because they heard voices. All that stuff is from the bad side, and it's dangerous stuff. it is amazing to me how that even Christian folk that's supposed to know better sometime dabble into some of that stuff. And I grew up in a very moral family, not much into church going. My grandma was a great Christian lady, believing in the Bible, and she lived with us. And yet I know now, as I look back, there was a few little things they were superstitious about. And they had a few little, you've heard me say many times, grandma would just beat you with a broom if you brought a box into the house on New Year's Day or took one out, any kind of box. She said that was a bad omen. Somebody'd be taken out in a box that year if you done it on you. I mean, it was a superstition thing. She had some other stuff. I remember one time they thought I was not growing fast enough, I reckon. And they took me into the back bedroom, and this come through some of the women in the family, both mama's side and, well, it was mostly mama's side, to be honest. I don't remember daddy's side being to it. But mama's side of the family, they took me in there and stood me up against a wooden wall. All the houses built out of wood back then where we live. Stood me up against the wall, made me stand tall, and they took a hand drilling bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The old-fashioned bracing bit. Measured and drilled a hole right over my head in the wall. Not my... Somebody think my head, but they missed my head. It went into the wall. They drilled a hole, cut a piece of hair out of the back of my head, twisted it up, and poked it in the hole. That was supposed to help me grow taller. I don't know. If I could patent that idea, if it really worked, some of these fellas that want to be ball players, basketball players, I'd get rich, wouldn't I? But anyway... I'm going to go back one day to that old farmhouse and see if that hair is still in that wall. I don't know where it worked or not. But anyway, superstitious stuff. And even good people, you know why? Because it got passed down from one to the other. And yet sometimes people are dabbling in stuff that's on the devil's side and the Bible condemns. Tradition can... You can forget the reason and keep on doing it. I've told you the story about the young lady that got married and husband happened to notice her in the kitchen fixing the ham. And she chopped off the end of the ham. He saw it looked like a pretty good piece of meat. She chopped off and threw away. And he said, "Why do you do that?" She said, "'Cause mama always done it. Every time she fixed a ham, she whacked it off." So when the mother-in-law got around, the young husband said, "Why do you always chop off the end of the ham before you put it in the pan?" She said, "I don't know. Mama always done it, so I always done it." Finally, grandma came over, and the husband asked her. She said, "It's easy. I always chopped it off because it was always a little too long for my pan." Now, sometimes stuff don't have much foundation, much sense, much reason behind it, but people just do it because somebody else done it, and somebody else done it, and somebody else done it. That's kind of silly, but that's true. Well, this stuff is too much accepted today, and almost had it sanitized over the TV and the cartoons and so forth. But we need to know what God has to say about it. And it's a lie. It's the warfare with the old devil, and it's a lie. This New Age stuff is an old lie, not new, but an old lie, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, of course. Now, let me ask some questions about it, this little time I got here. Begin with, what's it named? Webster's 1828 Dictionary, which is the best, gives you Deuteronomy 18:11. And it is claiming communication. Necromancers are claiming communication with the dead. Now, why is that attractive? It's attractive because it plays on something people want. It plays, number one, it plays on the promise of power. Say, what do you mean? Well, go back to Hitler. We speak of him as being a bad man. But a lot of the stuff he got from the dark side. And he had his SS troops, and he had his special groups. Many times they're referred to as black shirts. That was in the cultism that Hitler was trusting in. They had brown shirts and all that, but it basically dealt with Hitler thinking that he was getting help and getting power from what we'd call the dark side. He was getting so-called enlightenment from there. And his idea was that he had supernatural power. He thought he owned the spear that Christ was speared with on the cross of Calvary. And that as long as he owned that, and he went and stole it in Vienna, out of the museum, and we don't even know for sure it was the same spearhead, but anyway, he thought it was. And he kept that, thinking as long as he held that in his possession, nobody could defeat him. He was trying to build the Aryan race, the superhuman race. You know the story on Hitler. But it was very much tied into the occultism of what we would call witchcraft and all of that business. He wanted the power of it. Do you know that's still the big thing with a lot of folks today? They think they have power. I may say a little more about it tonight. And you that missed Wednesday night, we had the little tape there and dealing with the demons being cast out, and don't go nuts on me now. We gave a little tape Wednesday night of actual devil's voices coming out of the girl, and it's not faked, it's not Hollywood. It happened in a church office, and it's with a hidden video camera. But all of that, I may say a little something more about it tonight. But the devil's side is very real, and those devils we heard speaking Wednesday night made statements like this. Speaking of the girl they were in, they didn't want to give her up. They said, "We love her." She was in a trance and couldn't help herself, but till they were cast out. But you say, "I'm in a Baptist church and he's talking about casting out devils." Well, I just give the solid truth and what the Bible says. And if you think the devil's not real, you got another thought coming. But anyway, they said things like that. One of the statements you heard them say was, "Satan is our father." Remember saying that? And when they was talking about the crucifixion, the devil spoke up and said to the young youth leader that was talking to him there, and the pastor said, "You make me sick," talking about the crucifixion. "I was there. I saw the whole bloody thing." And so all of that is fact, folks. And today, if you don't think the devil's having his way in this world, you hadn't read a newspaper lately, or you hadn't kept up with things very well. He is doing much in this world today. Now, with that said, Hitler was tapped into that. And he wanted it for power. That's what he thought. And if he did die in that bunker, and most folks think he did, even to the very last, he still expected those powers to bring victory out of defeat. But of course, they couldn't. And what he didn't know was he was fooling with the losing side, amen, with the defeated side. But why is it attractive? Well, for power. And then here's the big attraction. Folks will go to a fortune teller to try to call up Aunt Susie or Uncle Joe because of grief over losing a loved one. Probably the most famous case of that is Houdini and his wife. You've probably seen some of that on TV or read some books about it. He promised her after he died that if there's any way to communicate at all from the other side, that he would. So she went to fortune tellers trying to give Houdini a chance to communicate back from the other side. And there's no proof that he ever did. Some claim he did and so on. But absolutely no proof of that. But the power of losing a loved one. Now, folks, we need to understand something. And the people that understand this the best are saved people, Christians, Bible believers. We know death is a reality. We know it is coming. We know if Jesus don't come first while we're yet alive, we are going to die. And the older we get, the more we know we're closer to it. We've got our prayer list we read here in the church. We've got a couple of folks pretty close to crossing over right now. Now, even though we know they're going to heaven, if it's your wife or your husband or your kid or your loved one, you still, human-wise, emotion-wise, it's a terrible hurt. It's a terrible loss. There, Jesus wept in John chapter 11 at Lazarus' funeral. It's okay to do that, but we better be clear in our mind. It's a fact. Death is a fact. We are going to face it with others, and one day others are going to face it that care about us. So it's a reality. But the good part is, the reality for those that are saved is to be absent from the body. The soul leaves the body, it's present with the Lord. That's a wonderful truth. So my dad and mother's body is 2 blocks over there in the ground in that cemetery. But they're not there. They're with the Lord. And when he comes back, I'm going to go up and be with them. If I die first, they'll probably plant me right over there. But I won't be there. I'll be gone to be with the Lord, and this old carcass will go back to dust. But when the resurrection trumpet sounds, it'll be changed and come up and be a glorified body, reunited with the soul in the presence of the Lord. That's wonderful truth. And that's our comforting truth. But while it is, there's still a pain when you lose a loved one. There's still a hurt. And folks that don't have the truth that I just spoke to you about, they don't have the assurance of heaven. They don't know what the Bible says. Then they do these strange and wrong and sinful things to try to go and contact the person that has passed on. And the Bible forbids that. I just read you the portion where it forbids it. We'll read some more in just a moment. But play it on the grief of loved ones is what makes the cons, the charlatans, the fake fortune tellers and others make their money. That's the worst kind of stealing. That's the worst kind of dealing, with the grief of a loved one. That is a terrible thing. And there's a lot of fakery in it. But then some of them do have what the Bible warns against. And that's a familiar spirit. That's a spirit you and I can't see, but a spirit in the other dimension that can get in cahoots. Do you know a big word like that? I don't know if that's Greek or Hebrew, cahoots. It means conspiracy with the familiar spirit, the evil spirit. The devil gets in conspiracy with a human being violating the word of God. And yes, they can give that human being information. They don't know everything. And much of it, you remember, the devil's a liar and the father of liars. So no wonder that the devils will lie. But at the same time, they can help that fortune teller do something supernatural to make that customer, if you please, really buy into it. Now, wait a minute. Everything supernatural is not of God. There is a underworld to the other world. There is a dark side, and they do have knowledge, not the knowledge of God, but limited knowledge and more knowledge in many cases than we have, and they use it. I wish I had time to go through many places in the Bible on it, but a lot of it is faked. One of the ways they fake it is if I call the fortune teller, I'll have to make an appointment. Between the time I show up for my appointment, the fortune teller does some research on me, find out some information about me. So when then I get in before the fortune teller, she does nothing more than tell me things she found out that anybody else, in fact, the IRS can find out, amen? And they make plenty off of that kind of fakery, sure. But there is the thing where some of them do have what the Bible warns against, a familiar spirit. Now, there's a key in the word familiar. A familiar spirit out here can get familiar with you as well as the fortune teller that he's working with. Let me give you an example. You come in and the familiar spirit can tell her, most of the time it's a her, tell her information about you that they can get ahead of time, or even when you sit down, they can read your mind to a great degree. For instance, when you sit down, the fortune teller will start asking you certain questions about yourself. That will guide your mind into memories about what Uncle Joe looked like, what Uncle Joe said. And the familiar spirit is pulling it right back out of your head and playing it right back through the fortune teller to you. So that's the way a familiar spirit works. They even impersonate your loved one. And so when you think Uncle Joe is speaking to you, you really got a devil speaking through the fortune teller with information that's he's already gleaned. It's not Uncle Joe. I told you this before, but I love it. I think it's such a great joke. Family went to the fortune teller, a little boy. He wouldn't be still and he wouldn't be quiet. They kept having uncles and aunts and parents or whoever called up. And the little boy kept saying, call up grandma, call up grandma, call up grandma. And finally, to shut him up, the fortune teller said, okay. And so grandma spoke and the little boy cried out, oh, grandma, I didn't know you were dead yet. Just blew her cover all to pieces, amen. Well, anyway, that's the way the thing works. And a lot of it is faked. But evil spirits do form teams with witches. I mentioned Shirley MacLaine a while ago. She had a big thing going on that, made a movie about it and all that. A lot of people bought into it. But it's clearly forbidden in the Bible. Very much forbidden. Under penalty of death. Over in Exodus 22:18, I won't ask you to look there, but it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, I know we get all this played back to us all the time about the Salem witch trials. Did they do wrong? Probably they did. Did they have some genuine witches? Maybe so. That was not the way to handle it. But the scripture does tell the Israelites, moving into these lands where this was predominant, that they were not to suffer a witch to live. That means capital punishment was decreed for a real witch. Like it or not, that's what God said about it. Now, we've come to a day and time that we've been misled to think there's good and bad witches. If they're real witches, they're bad. You say, but I saw so-and-so twitch her nose on that show and make good things happen. Yeah. I hope you didn't buy too much into that. Biggest thing I bought into that was that she was the boss of the house and what's-his-name was henpecked. That was propaganda of our day and time, something like that. One of you ushers want to move out to the left. Don't everybody turn your head and check right outside the door right here. I'm pointing at it, please. Somebody out there don't know where to go, what to do. All right. Anyway, whatever her name was, I don't remember. But anyway, she was a good witch. There's nothing but bad witches if they're real. Now, it's clearly forbidden. That includes, and this is going to get closer to where some of us are living now, that includes all the props and the enchantments that a lot of people wear and decorate themselves with, even their bodies, that's forbidden in the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Open your Bible to the book of Leviticus. You're in Deuteronomy, go back to your left. Go back to the book of Leviticus. You got all kind of rules on this. Go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Now, people do a lot of these things out of ignorance, of course. They don't know they're fooling with the devil's side many times when they are. Leviticus 19, pick it up with me in verse 26. Verse 26 of Leviticus 19. You shall not eat anything with the blood. Blood's a big part in witchcraft. Neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Now, some of you say, mar the corners of the beard and round the corners of the head. We don't do that. Well, let me get you to jump on over to chapter 21 and we'll see what he's talking about. Chapter 21 of Leviticus, pick it up in verse 5. Verse 5, they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Now, all of this, let me explain to you. You see it today. You see some kid, plenty of hair on his head, but he's cut him out of place. Shaved it down to where you see the skin. Anybody seen that? See it all the time, don't you? Now, when it comes to cuttings and prints and marks in your flesh, well, we call that tattoos, don't we? Yeah, there's a lot of folks got them when they were drunk or other times and wish they never had. You know, and I don't know, but I understand they're awful painful to get out if they can get them out at all. But a lot of folks get into some of that stuff, and yet here it is forbidden in the Bible. Now, I've dealt with teenagers before, and I'm going to run out of time bad. I've dealt with teenagers before that had this thing of cutting themselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's of the devil, folks. I mean, kids that come to this church or was in my Christian school, I've had to deal with some of them where if you looked at them, they took little razor blades and just cut themselves. And you have the New Testament, and I don't have time to open up much, but the New Testament, you have the maniac of Gadara out in the tombs cutting himself. Remember? You got that in the New Testament. New Testament tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4:1 that in the last times that the word speaks expressively of the devils and evil spirits. That's still for us today to watch out for. And I, again, don't have time, but one of the biggest encounters I ever personally had with a devil-possessed man, one of the things he done was take I guess it was a razor blade or a knife, and cut himself bloody, literally, and almost bled to death. He cut himself so much while that thing had hold of him. It was a horrible thing to see. It's still, the devils are still out there today. It is still a real thing. It is still forbidden. It's still called abominations here in the Bible, clearly forbidden. And all the enchantments and props and medallions and by the way, look out for the rock music when it comes to the rap and the rock music business. A lot of that has got the chants in it. And the enchantments even printed in code and on the albums. Little Richard was the fellow that was fairly popular into that. He gave a testimony at a Billy Graham crusade where he got up and said, after he got saved, he said, I used to meet in the coven. They'd get around, we'd cut a new record. We'd get around with some blood and some the star symbol for the devil on the floor and get around and pray to Satan to make that record a bestseller. And usually he said, this is his testimony, the Billy Graham meeting. He said, and you folks say it don't work. I tell you, it did work because you bought our records. He put it right back on the Christian folks that listened to that junk and said, you answered the devil's prayer for us. You made our record number one. That sort of stuff. So again, in your grief for a loved one, don't be trapped into this stuff. It is forbidden. That's where it gets good people. Our danger of our country today is big time. And it's bringing God's judgment. You and I are supposed to be the light and the salt as God's people. We're supposed to go by what God says. And God says, leave it alone. That is forbidden. And it's best to do what God says. Amen. Time's up. We'll give you the report here and let the choir get ready to go out and come in for the preaching service. We'll have about 7 or 8 minutes here. If you're visiting with us, we hope.